morning comes from the prophet Isaiah from chapter 11. Select verses. I'll be reading from the beginning of chapter 11 and then a few verses closer to the end of chapter 11. The prophet has a vision and says, "A shoot shall come out of the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious." And then select passages from Matthew chapter 24. In this chapter of the gospel, Jesus is talking about his need to leave. He's telling his disciples that he will leave, but he also promises that he will return. So Matthew chapter 24 begins by saying, "When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?'" And Jesus goes on to describe signs, which are often called the signs of the times. And then Jesus says to his disciples, "From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches become tender and it puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things, you know that he is near at the very gates." And later on, Jesus says, "But of the day and hour, no one knows. The angels of heaven nor the Son, none know, but only the Father. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour." And finally, at the end of the chapter, Jesus tells a parable about servants who work while their master is away. And he concludes that parable by saying, "Blessed is the servant. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find at work when the master arrives." And finally, our last scripture passage comes from Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Paul, writing to Titus, says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all, training us to renounce impiety and worldly passions, and in the present age to live lives that are self-controlled and upright and godly. While we wait for the blessed hope and the transfer and the manifestation of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, it is he who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify for himself a people of his own who are zealous for good deeds. My friends, the grass may wither, the flowers and the leaves have faded and fallen, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen." My friends, this season is a time to collect seeds. All spring and summer and fall, the plants around us have been working hard and diligently to grow their seeds. The pumpkins that my family carved this fall are a testimony to this reality. Those pumpkins grew all summer long, and this fall when we cut them open, we found that they were full of seeds. The oak trees have finished growing their acorns, and the maple trees around us are full of their keys, their maple keys, which fall twisting and twirling towards the soil where they hope to grow. The flowers in the meadows behind our house in Hobler Park, all that remain of the flowers of this summer are their stalks and their seeds. The seeds that grew carefully in the center of each blossom, and the seeds which so far have escaped the notice of the goldfinches. Now is a time to collect seeds. Seeds that can be planted in our fields and in our gardens. Seeds that can be planted in the cold earth to be stratified all winter long with the hope that in the spring they will grow. Each seed starting with just a tiny white root, which will begin the process of growing next fall's pumpkins, next summer's coneflowers, and the next generation of mighty oak trees and maple trees. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, and traditionally, we look to Scripture to lead us towards a reflection on hope. And I was surprised this week when I took a close look at the passage from Isaiah to find the prophet there hoping for a root of all things. Isaiah tells about God and how God will bring about a new servant, a new king, a new savior from the family of Israel's greatest earthly ruler, King David. Isaiah doesn't use David's name in our passage. Instead, he refers to David's father, Jesse. In the passage, we hear about Jesse's family pictured poetically as a planting, a tree. In Isaiah's time, through sin and evil, this world had become infected with so many sorrows and troubles of all kinds. Things had not been going well for God's people, and they yearned for a king, a leader who would guide them into peace and goodness. It was into this yearning that God gave a vision of cultivation and new growth. It was into this yearning that Isaiah received a message of hope about a root. A root. Isaiah, inspired by God's Spirit, explains that the family of King David may appear to be like a cut down tree, leaving only a lifeless stump in its place. But Isaiah conveys the God-given message of hope that even from a dead stump, the God of creation is able to bring forth new life. Isaiah's prophecy begins with the language of shoots and branches. And from that old stump will come a new shoot, a new living branch. But somewhat strangely, the prophecy ends with a shift from the language of shoots and branches to the language of growing roots. At the end of the passage, Isaiah says that this root of Jesse will rise up. It'll stand up tall, so tall that the nations of the earth will see this standing root, and they'll see it, and they'll come and inquire about God. It's an amazing and strange vision. We can understand that branches rise up and are seen and appreciated for their glory. But it's rather strange to say that a root is going to stand up and be so wonderful as to draw the attention of people. Now, I'm sure that this language of roots in Isaiah's passage is just an example of a common form of biblical poetic, poetic device. The prophets and psalmists often will express an idea, the same idea, and they'll express that same idea twice or three times, but they'll do so in two or three slightly different ways. A great example of this poetic device can be found in the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah, who passes along a vision of God's hoped-for king or Messiah riding on a humble and lowly donkey. Zechariah says that the Messiah will come riding on a donkey. And that statement makes plenty of sense all on its own. But then the prophet makes the point two and three times, using two and three different words for a donkey. Your Messiah will come, he says, riding on a donkey, on a colt, on the foal of a donkey. It's like, yeah, Zechariah, we got it the first time. What could be said with one word is expressed using three different words for the sake of beauty and flair. So Isaiah first talks about a shoot and a branch rising out of that cut down stump of Jesse. And then, because he wants to express that idea for a third time at the end of the chapter in a slightly different way, Isaiah expresses his God-given hope, not for a shoot, not for a branch, but for a root. My friends, this week and this morning, I feel God calling us to join Isaiah in hoping for roots. Isaiah's prediction that God's promised king would come and be like a root, well, it makes for some interesting allusions to Jesus' life and death and his resurrection. It's easier and more common for us to think about a stump growing a new branch, which grows into a tall and a majestic tree. We have a great oak tree here on the campus of the Blauenberg Reformed Church. It's marvelous. I think it's the only tree left in the village that's older than the sanctuary. And it stands taller than our sanctuary, and its branches stretch out in a beautiful array. This fall, its leaves turned a beautiful golden color, and now that those leaves have fallen, the powerful branches of that tree stretched out in every direction are clear to see. We can understand why God would inspire Isaiah to say that Jesus would come and he would appear like a tree, stretching wide his arms like branches to alert the people of this world of the reality of God's love and forgiveness and God's welcome and God's embrace. Isaiah is saying God's Savior will come and be like a tree, opening his arms in every direction, to every point on the compass, saying the Savior has come. God's arms are open. Come into God's welcoming embrace. Come, the arms of God are open. Be drawn in and inquire of this tall and glorious, majestic beacon of God's love. It makes sense to think of Jesus and his message of salvation like a tall and glorious tree that helps to show forth God's good news. But we can also understand how Jesus is like a root. Jesus was stood up. He was hung high. Jesus was raised up high when he was nailed to a cross which we often refer to as a tree. But then Jesus was taken down from that tree and he was laid in the ground. Like a seed planted in winter, Jesus was laid in the ground. And for 3 days, Jesus was like a root buried in the ground. His life was like the life of Jesse, cut back to what seemed like a dead stump. No branches were visible, no leaves were sprouting, seemingly no fruits were ripening. The stone was rolled in front of that earthly grave. But then a surprising and glorious uprooting occurred. Isaiah's hope for a root was borne out. The promise of a glorious root was fulfilled, and the expectations of a great standing root were met. Jesus, who had died and who had been placed in the ground, was resurrected, and as the prophet Isaiah predicted, the root of Jesse was raised up and glorified for everyone to see. That which was buried in the ground was raised up, and it was raised up and showed forth the full power of God's glory and God's love, a love which even conquers the power of death. The root of Jesse brought forth salvation, and the message of that salvation was raised up by the early church, so that the nations of the world would hear it and know that they could come and inquire of God's love and forgiveness and transformation. Paul talks about this spreading, growing message of salvation in his letter to his colleague Titus. Paul says, "For the grace of God has appeared." It has appeared, it's here. The message of salvation has come, bringing salvation to all. And Paul goes on to explain to Titus how God's salvation affects our lives. While we wait for Christ to return, we do so transformed and affected by the salvation that we have already been given. That salvation takes root in our hearts, and it brings transformation. With salvation working in our hearts, we are able to tame our passions and set aside that which is hurtful and destructive. And with salvation growing in our hearts, we are able to live lives characterized by self-control, wise decision-making, and actions and activities which are pleasing to God. As the author and preacher Rob Bell often said, God loves us just the way we are, and God loves us enough not to leave us just the way we are. God puts salvation into our hearts, and that salvation helps to transform us. In his commentary on this passage, commentator Jerome Quinn describes Paul's view of salvation by saying that for Paul, salvation is like a taproot of transformation. According to Quinn, salvation is like a taproot growing inside of us, and from that root, our hearts and our lives are transformed. Salvation is the starting point for a new life and for new growth. The prophet Isaiah hoped for a root. And on this Sunday, this first Sunday of Advent, God calls us to hope for some roots as well. This is a season for collecting and planting seeds. This is a season to hope for growth, to hope for roots. This is a season to hope and believe that through faith and salvation, God can transform our lives. Today is a day to remember and to give thanks that the root of Jesse has come. Jesus came as the great and glorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has come to establish goodness and peace upon the earth. Yes, he was hung upon a tree and he was placed in the ground, but God raised him to new and glorious life. God raised him up, and glorified by God, the root of Jesse has become a beacon of salvation. In this season of Advent, God invites us to hope. To hope for the roots of salvation to grow even in our hearts. God invites us to hope for the roots of faith and transformation to spring forth anew. My friends, God loves us, and God wants to work on us to make us God's people so that God can use us for God's purposes. Because of God's love and the power of God, the roots of salvation grow in our hearts, and with their growth come the transformation of our lives. So let us have hope. Let us collect the seeds of faith. Let us plant them in the good soil of our hearts. Let us tend to them, to cultivate them, and to help them to sprout and grow. And let us hope and believe that God will bring forth the roots of our transformation. Thanks be to God. Amen.